going to jump right in. Patrick Dolan, we had a question of the day that lingered for a couple days. I think you were listening and texting in your guesses, but none today. We're going to get right to you, okay, my friend.
Sounds good.
You feel good about that?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Tell me a little bit about Conti Dolan. What you do?
So I'm an employment lawyer. I, you know, help folks with workplace issues, hiring, termination, non-compete, compensation issues, harassment, stuff like that. So anything regarding your job, I'm happy to help.
I love that. 312-981-7200 is our phone number where you can reach us. Let's go immediately. Patrick,
sure,
you always get callers on in here. Let's get Kim on the line. Hey, Kim, how are you doing on this Wednesday evening?
I'm well. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course. What is your question?
You want me to ask my question?
Yes, okay. I do. my that's fair, Kim. I didn't ask. You know, that's on me. That's on the host.
My question is regarding FMLA, not for me. We have a restaurant, and we have about a small restaurant, maybe 15 employees. And so if someone goes out on FMLA, do they have to be there for a year? That's my first question. And my second question is, do we have to hold their job open? Because that's really hard to do when you're small like we are.
Mm. Okay, Patrick, what do you think?
Yeah, so if you're talking about FMLA specifically, if you have less than 50 employees, 50, it's not going to apply to that employer. Mm. So you probably do not have any FMLA obligations. And I'll answer your second question anyway, just because you asked it, and it's a good general question. A person has to work 1,250 hours before they become, I know, John, you're like,
I gotta do some math. What is that?
I know, I don't know how they get that threshold, but they have to work 1,250 hours to be eligible. Okay. So you have a number of employee threshold of 50, and they have to work 1,250 hours within a year. So generally speaking, you gotta work a full year.
All right, Kim. So you're not at that 50 threshold, right?
Correct.
All right. So FMLA doesn't apply to you.
Doesn't even apply to us. Okay, and 1,250. I'm going to write it all down.
Sure, yeah, I love
so
that.
Much.
Okay,
I love
my pleasure.
Thanks, Kim. Well, there we go. Yeah. We don't get many business owners texting. I love that.
No, that's great. Especially small business owners. I do get a lot of questions from small business owners because, you know, they're so sensitive with regard to costs, you know, and so what are our obligations?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I answer those questions about what they do and do not have to do. And because the number of employees applies so specifically to different employment laws, then they may or may not have to, you know, comply with different laws.
Okay. Hey, John, on employment law, this is from the 262. Our company has 3 days working from home. A new crazy boss and we discuss how employees' spouses hear the Zoom calls where our boss berates us but thinks it's one-on-one when in reality all of our spouses hear it. How are your family members possibly pulled into employment law issues? I imagine you don't have any protection for someone overhearing a Zoom call, right?
No, not really. I mean, you know, if it's harassing and it's actually illegal, then you have a claim. And I'm sure it's very upsetting for the spouse who has to hear it, who, you know, wants to say, you know, ask them, what are you going to do about it? This is improper, et cetera. Especially, oftentimes I'll have clients whose spouse is in HR. And so they tell them, their HR spouse, what's going on. And frankly, they listen in. I just talked to somebody yesterday on that exact same issue.
262 followed up, by the way. Said another way, can spouses become a witness in an employer lawsuit when they overhear things on a Zoom call?
Yeah, I would. Well, I would for sure interview them. I'm not sure if they mean witness like in court. You could do that. But I would definitely interview the spouse with regard to, you know, finding out exactly what happened.
You, the lawyer.
Yes, me.
As like a backup.
On behalf of the client when I'm trying to, you know, figure out what's going on before I send the demand letter.
All right, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. 312-332-7800 is Patrick Dolan's number. We have time for some more questions and calls. I had a question that someone asked me yesterday
because
they love our segment. They asked me at the Blackhawks game to relay it to you.
Really? That's exciting. Okay.
I should have asked this person if they're at the game on Friday because I know you'll be there and I could have linked you all up.
Yeah, but we can do it this way.
He says that his wife had her third child.
Okay.
Was on maternity leave,
mm-hmm,
and was part of a broader layoff where they reduced the force by about 20%.
Okay.
She was laid off, in the middle of maternity leave. Yeah. I didn't think you could do that.
Well,
you probably need more details, but just generally speaking, what are the rules?
Yeah, so it's possible it's legal, right? It depends why she was included in that group, okay? If you take out the fact that she's pregnant, would she have been included in the group anyway?
Huh.
Because the analysis is... and when you're doing a larger layoff, you have to provide information under for age discrimination purposes, who the company considered for a layoff, and within that group, who was chosen and who was not chosen for layoff and what their ages are. So we can take that information and kind of extrapolate this into other areas like the maternity leave and say, if she would have been part of that group that was going to be terminated, it's probably okay that they terminated her while she was out on maternity leave. But if she was included in that group and would not have been chosen, but for the fact that she was on maternity leave, that's a problem.
How do you figure that out?
It's tough, but you can figure it out. And people ask me this all the time, because whether you're out on disability leave, FMLA leave for mental or physical issues, whatever it is, you're like, wait, I'm out on leave and I got fired. Can they do that? And I say, maybe, maybe not. So let's decide, let's go back to before you left,
mm-hmm.
what was going on in the company. And they say, oh, you know, yeah, there was this layoff discussed, but our group wasn't involved, or my specific job category wasn't involved, or there's no reason to pick me over somebody else. You know what I mean? And so you start to peel back the onion and you get a really good idea if they should have been included in that group while they were on leave. And I will tell you, lots of times they should not have been included in that group.
Interesting. So you're really able to kind of reverse engineer this to figure it out?
Yeah, you can. And people, you know, listen, you know, they talk to other employees. They know the circumstances about the layoff. Maybe HR gave them some information, you know, something like that. They tend to provide really good, useful information to me. So I can answer that question.
Okay. That's great stuff. 312-981-7200. We'll go to the phone lines here in a moment. That Mike call looks interesting, Patrick. We can probably put him on hold so I can get him on the air. But you're just saying that even if you're on for disability, even if it's not FMLA, you're not guaranteed that job when you come back or during the duration of your leave.
Well,
if they were going to lay you off anyways.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm only talking about. So if there's no group layoff, then yes, you are entitled to that job when you return. Same terms, conditions, compensation, benefits, everything.
Patrick Hennessy doing a great job producing, by the way. Iridian always knows to tell the listeners, never name the employer, so I'm going to do that. Mike, you're on WGN. Don't name the employer, okay? Can you tell us what your issue is?
No, I won't. Patrick, it's not really a legal question, but it's kind of an employment question.
Sure.
I was wondering what the best route for my nephew to go to try to keep his job. He was working in Minneapolis, and then he moved back to the Chicago area. He bought a house. When he did that, and his immediate boss knew that he was working remotely, and my nephew would fly up to Minneapolis once a month for meetings and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But then when he bought the house, the mortgage people contacted the company and about a address.
Like confirmation and stuff? Yeah.
And that triggered something up higher in the company, and they were thinking then of, you know, letting my nephew go. He had a good work history with him for several years and everything like that and all. So any suggestions about that?
Yeah, that could be a legal question. Patrick, what do you think?
It could be, because it depends on what sort of representations were made to him before he bought the house and moved. If his boss said, sure, you can work remotely, it's okay, you come up here once a month, once a week, whatever it is, and because of that, he made the plans to move, bought a house, et cetera, incurred all of those costs, that could be a misrepresentation claim. So, you know what? I've heard those sorts of things quite a bit. People move based on representations. Then something happens within the company. It's like, oh, wait a minute. This isn't working out. Well, the person moved and bought a house, et cetera. And so there are damages there. There can be a misrepresentation claim or some sort of contract claim if representations were made that it was okay. So the problem within the company is the boss said it was good. Maybe the boss didn't clear it with the people above him or her, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's an issue. But it's something that, you know, your nephew can claim as something, you know, viable and use it to recover damages if, in fact, he's going to be terminated. Or at least go back and negotiate it. Say, what is the issue with me working remotely? Let's talk about that. What's the problem? And see if something can be negotiated.
That makes sense to me, Mike. Does it make sense to you?
Yes, I will tell that.
Yeah, tell your nephew to call Patrick.
Yeah, I was going to say, your nephew can call me, and we can walk through all those issues, because there are different ways to look at that, but I think there's a lot that can help your nephew.
312, Mike. Hang on the line, and we'll give out the phone number, okay?
Okay.
All right, it's 312-332-7800. I'll say it again before you leave, Patrick.
It's on the wall behind you.
It's on the it's a tattoo on my arm.
Yeah, right.
Interesting question, though. I just want to clarify one thing.
Sure.
Because we've talked in the past that if your company had a work-from-home policy and now they don't, that's not grounds for saying, nope, I'm allowed to work from home.
No.
What you're suggesting here is a misrepresentation of what the job entailed led you to make a financial decision.
Yes.
And that triggers something different.
This is a very different scenario than that, right? It's someone, your boss telling you it's okay to do that, and so you take steps based on that representation. That's a different thing than the COVID work from home schedule, which suddenly changes. That's fine, actually.
All right. Someone had a Zoom question.
Okay.
Can you record your Zoom calls, or only if both parties are aware? How does that work in different states? Someone from Illinois talking to someone in Wisconsin, for example. I know each state handles this differently.
Yeah, and Illinois is a two-party consent state, so both parties need to consent. So if one party is in Illinois and that party wants to record it for his or her own purposes, they have to get both parties' consent.
Okay.
But every state is different.
Yes, exactly, and it depends. So, you know, call that Wisconsin lawyer. Do you have any good Wisconsin lawyers you like, Patrick?
Well, I could find out easily.
Yeah, you can Google it.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm not going to Google it.
You're going to go to ChatGPT.
Some AI. I'm going to be replaced by AI.
You're going to be replaced by AI slowly but surely right here on this program. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. 630 wants to know, what if you are laid off during a group layoff after you filed an HR report about your supervisor? And there were other equivalents to employees that continuously reported late to work, sometimes 2 hours late. They took extended lunches. They weren't on the chopping block. Could that be a legal issue? And is there a timeline to file? You've got 1 minute.
Okay, so it could be a retaliation claim. It depends why, again, you were chosen and others weren't, who had performance issues. Okay. I think that could be a pretty good retaliation claim. And you have, it depends what sort of retaliation claim. If it's based on a protected category, it's 300 days from the time of improper dismissal. Okay. If it's based on
300
age,
days,
race,
okay,
something like that. Right. So that's the short answer to the question.
All right. 300 days you have to file, and it could be a legal issue.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you did that in 30 seconds.
I can keep
talking
about it.
No, that's okay. Oh, okay. Give us a shout out to you and your firm and where people can reach you at, because we're getting a lot more texts on the call line and the text line, too.
So 312-332-7800. I handle any employment matters. And my partner, Karen Conti, does a lot of family law-related stuff.
Yeah, she's the muscle of the group.
She is. Well,
she's got big biceps.
She was a professional bodybuilder. She's in great shape.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Karen's done everything.
Yeah.
We love you too, Patrick. But
no,
man, Karen
not as
Conti.
Much as Karen. I mean, Karen's way different. I mean, different category than me.
Patrick, as always, thanks for joining us. Oh, see you Saturday.
Okay.